On this episode of the On.NET Show, we're going to be learning about Fluent Design System and how it's exposed in the Windows platform. Tune in. Hey, welcome to another episode of the On.NET Show. Today we've got Paul, and he's going to be talking to us about the Fluent Design System. And I'm your host, Rich Lander. Okay, so how about you, you know, introduce yourself, and then we'll get into the topic.
Sure. Yeah, I'm Paul Gasparino, and I work on Fluent Design and developer platforms at Microsoft, UWP, stuff like that.
Yeah, so you work on Windows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On Windows, if that's still a thing that we work on.
Yeah, we definitely still work on Windows. So what is Fluent Design System?
So Fluent Design System is the system that Microsoft is making available to help developers create their great user experiences. When we started this project, we really were thinking about how do we help people create UI that is delightful to users, people like to use, they find productive, they find great, and thinking of the whole life cycle of experience creation. So not just giving them some tools and saying, hey, go run in, you know, good luck, but what do we think about guidelines? What do we think about design tool support in the real design tools that the designers are using now? How do we include kind of design as an equal partner in the whole ecosystem of app creation and think about the whole experience creation process? And so, you know, Fluent's are kind of offering our kind of end-to-end solution around creating great user experience for our customers and that we use internally ourselves to create our own apps and experiences.
Right, so actually an interesting question is who is the audience who really cares deeply about this kind of thing? You know, clearly the teams within Microsoft do, but once you get outside of that, is it just ISVs, like, you know, Adobe, for example, who care about this, or do big companies who have, you know, what we call line of business applications also care about this?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think certainly everyone wants to make their experiences be great and productive for their customers. Both certainly consumer-facing products spend a lot of time and money and effort to kind of differentiate on their design and have really great experiences for the consumers. But even line of businesses and enterprises want to have great productivity, great usability. They want to make sure that things that they create are accessible and inclusive for all the people they have working at their place. And so there's a lot of benefits of bringing great user experience design for productivity and usability, reduced training costs. You know, for a lot of reasons, you want to have even in a business, even line of business apps have really good design to them. And so we think it can be expensive to do that. It can be hard work. It can be a lot of effort. And so what we're trying to do is make it easier for people to do that, whether they're investing in creating something that's really consumer scale or even just a line of business app, helping them have that good design.
Right. So one question for you, since you're one of the designers of this, is I have this assumption,
yeah,
which you can prove or disprove.
Yeah, go for it.
Which is that, you know, if I was to go all in on Fluent Design System,
yeah,
that I could build an app that was better for my users than a website.
We definitely think that's the case. Actually, I can show a couple ideas of some of the ways I think that's true.
Right, because if that's not true, then that's a weird proposition, right?
Sure. Now, I would separate out kind of a specific technology in platform. I think you'll see that Microsoft, you know, we do make websites and web apps and things, and as a design system, we're being kind of inclusive of those and making sure that there's a way to have those things that fit in the broader system. But I think that at the same time, absolutely the native platform that we create with UWP and Windows and for .NET developers, we're definitely pushing the limits of what you can do with experience and trying to let you create experiences that go beyond and are richer and work better than what you do with a website and more easily to build them.
Okay. How about we take a look at your demo and then we can kind of talk more about philosophy.
Yeah, sure. This kind of demo app I have here, it's called the Van Arsdale Lighting App. And it's an app to let you control kind of smart lights in your home for this theoretical Van Arsdale company.
Right, because all smart lights look exactly
they're just as beautiful. So you can, you know, pick a light, and you can pick a set of lights. Like I shift clicked and picked a set of lights.
Ooh, that was awesome.
And you can, you know, change their color and brightness. So imagine you're at home and you're trying to, what's the mood I'm trying to set, and you can kind of have fun with that and set, you know, set the brightness and stuff you want. You can have, you know, a whole bunch of lights here and different rooms of lights. And then the app also has a whole shopping section where you can go and create your own light, and you can go customize it and say, I'm going to go buy a new light, you know, a table lamp, and I can pick, you know, what kind of top do I like for it, and what kind of middle do I like, and, you know, does this look better, does this look better,
customize it. Folks at home can't quite see at the moment, but you were doing that last bit with your thumb.
Yeah, I was doing my thumb because it's just so convenient. I'm someone who, at least I find with my Surface Book, I'll jump around between inputs. I'll use my keyboard a lot to tab around, and I'm a kind of keyboard shortcut power user. I use my trackpad for things, and then sometimes I just use my finger for stuff, especially panning, zooming, those kinds of things. I just find it to be quicker and easier with a touchscreen. In fact, I get annoyed if I go to a non-touchscreen computer and I can't do that on the glass. So, yeah. So anyway, that's kind of what the app does. And you can see it's a very beautiful app. It's very seamless how it moves between things, the kind of interactions it has. So I'm using the keyboard now, for example, to arrow up and down through these lamps and select them. I'm shift-clicking. The kind of experience richness you have is definitely the kind of experience you get with the intelligent edge, with a rich client type of experience. And you also think about IoT scenarios like this. Often those are things that really I probably have to be on talking to local devices. You know, it's at the intelligent edge that you want to do these kinds of operations. You probably don't want to go through the latency of going through the cloud for managing, you know, a bunch of light bulbs in your house necessarily.
Right. Right.
And so I think it's a great example of something. Now we did smart lighting, which is more consumer oriented, but you can imagine there's lots and lots of, you know, IoT scenarios in businesses where they're managing tons of sensors and edge devices that you can imagine having a console to control. And we're going to be making this app available as an open source
sample for folks. Love open source.
This summer. All right. So I think if you see kind of the kind of richness of the app, the animations, the interaction experience, even for something that's not productivity, everyone knows rich productivity apps are just so much benefit of doing in the native client. But sometimes people wonder about apps that have a bit more of a browsing kind of aspect to them, you know, the benefits. And I think you can just see the kind of experience richness that you can get and the kind of scenario.
Right. So you were showing me a couple things earlier that I really liked.
Yeah.
And maybe you're going to show them now, which is how we were talking about the old Metro design pattern.
Yeah.
Which a bunch of folks probably still remember. And that was very touch first oriented. And in fact, you know, in the halls of Microsoft, that was kind of actually driven into our heads. We will support keyboard and mouse, and, you know, there'll be sensible interaction for those, but it is 100% totally.
Yeah.
Touch first, and I'm kind of guessing we might have done something different here.
Yeah. So actually, let me say a philosophical thing, and then I'll just show something in the app. But when we started creating Fluent, and you know, it is kind of something that's replacing Metro, or kind of the evolution or reimagination of Metro or whatever. There are a few different things we chose to do differently. One is while Metro was very touch first, with Fluent we really wanted to be about making experiences the best on the form factor that you're using them on, making them work great with touch, making them work great with mouse, making them work great with keyboard, with holographic, you know, displays and six-DOF controllers, speech. And so we're really thinking about the different ways people interact with their computer, and we want it to be, first it has to be great at working the specific way the person's trying to work with it, and then we can find commonalities beyond that. As opposed to trying to fit everyone into kind of one design that has to work everywhere, even if it's the least common denominator. A second thing that we did, so that's kind of one principle we had. The second principle we had is about letting people be productive and do stuff. A lot of our focus with Metro apps was about consumption and kind of sitting back and like scrolling through content like you do on the web. And that's great, and there's definitely a lot of consumption that happens, but a lot of Microsoft's ethos is about letting people create, letting people do. You know, Satya jokes sometimes when people say, you know, oh, should I work at Microsoft or not? He says, well, if you want to be cool, go work somewhere else. But if you want to make others cool, come work at Microsoft.
Yeah, I like that line.
I like that line he uses. And I think that we really are about empowering people to do stuff, and that is kind of in our DNA here. And so a lot of the design system is really focused on how can we help people create experiences that let people do more and let people be more productive. And so we're doing a lot of work with the Office team, for example, learning a lot about the designs and things that they choose there, making those available to people at scale. So that's the second point, is productivity. And the third point was still having that level of immersion and richness. And so while Metro was very flat and authentically digital, is how we referred to it, with Fluent, there's a lot more depth, light, materiality, things from the real world and kind of mixed world blending, digital and analog. And that's not just an aesthetic principle, but we think there's actual real functional value from that, because taking advantage of those things that we understand as human beings about the physical world and leveraging those in designing the software that we use on our computer can actually help us be more productive and efficient. So anyway, those are kind of three ways in which fundamentally, like philosophically, what we're doing is different with Fluent than what we did with Metro. And on that first point, I want to show an example.
Let's see it.
So here I have this app, and let's say, as you'd imagine in a lighting app like this, I need to be able to change the room that I put a light in. So here this floor device C is in my living room, and let's say I wanted to move it to some other room, bedroom. If I was using a mouse, the way I'd expect to do that is by right-clicking and getting a context menu. That's, I think we'd all agree how a mouse user would expect to go be able to do that. As a touch user, I probably would actually expect to be able to go swipe and get to it.
Yeah.
And so, you know, one of our principles with Fluent is let people do each thing kind of the way that's natural and makes sense to do that. So we don't have to say touch users have to use a context menu, so you have to press and hold and wait for a context menu to show up. Yes, we support that. Of course, that works. But people should be able to actually work in the most efficient, best way for them. And so if they're using touch, swipe is probably more efficient. If they're using a mouse, right-click is more efficient. But now that reaches a conundrum. Gosh, it's a lot of work for developers. You have to go add a swipe. You have to go add context menu. You have to go add keyboard shortcuts. And in the past, our platform has been structured in a way you have to do that many, many different times over and over and over again. And even things like the strings, you have to copy the same string over and over again. You have to copy the same icon reference a million places. And so we've really been thinking hard about how can we evolve the platform to model and structure stuff in a way that makes it easy and straightforward for developers to build experiences that actually are multimodal, that actually are multi-device, that are multi-sense, that reach this kind of intelligent edge that we're trying to reach. And so in this example here, I'm not showing the code today, but you'll be able to see in the sample, there's something called the UI command that we've created that's an object in XAML that encapsulates all the UI information about the command, the label, the tooltip string, the icon, et cetera, that you can just connect to the different controls. And then in that common implementation, not just of the kind of the back end of the command, but the actual UI of the command, it'll get presented and surfaced the right way with swipe, with right click, and so forth. But you just have to write it kind of once. And so that's one example of how we're trying to make sure we have the right set of affordances that you can make apps that really are great with touch, really are great with mouse, really are great with keyboard. And you can decide for your customers and your scenario and you know what you're targeting. You know, you don't have to really have compromises.
Makes sense. So we talked about how this is kind of a successor to Metro. Is this kind of an analog to Material Design from Google? Is there a similarity there?
Yeah, I think it's a similar idea of kind of providing a more comprehensive offering for people around creating great user experience. But of course, there are differences in how we're approaching it. Again, kind of rooted in our core strengths and our core ethos. And so, you know, I think if you've looked at Material, you'll see it's very focused on mobile and kind of small screen touch devices. And there's been a lot less thinking about keyboard and mouse and large screen and multi-window and that kind of stuff. And I think if you look at Fluent, you'll see there's a lot more about, you know, productivity and kind of getting stuff done.
Right, making an app like Office Work, for example.
Making an app like Office Work.
Or Visual Studio.
Yeah. And that doesn't mean we're not taking, you know, bringing together kind of, you know, smart ideas from things. But actually, on the Office one, here's another example of something that's new in the system. So in this screen where I was buying a lamp, after customizing it, I could also choose to engrave it. That's what this, they offer engraving. And so I could, you know, say, oh, Fluent design system is for everyone. Great.
I'm gonna write, to mom, love your favorite son.
Perfect.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, here, mom, I got you a smart lamp.
Yeah.
There you go.
But emphasis on favorite son.
Yeah. And now, one of the things people are probably familiar with from Microsoft Office, like Word, is if you select a word, you get that floating toolbar that has commands right on it. And so one of the things we brought into Fluent in Learn, because we're working across the whole company to design this, we've said, hey, there's that rich floating toolbar that has contextual commands that people are familiar with in apps like Word. Let's have that as part of the system so I can go and, I didn't actually select my word here, one second. Real code, and I crashed my app. There we go. But and make that word bold. And so that's one of the new elements, for example, we brought into Fluent this past update is contextual commanding and floating command bar.
I can see how people would like that.
Yeah, and it's very rich and scalable, and you can fit quite a few commands on that. And again, that's a place that you'll see it's different than something like Material, where they have like a floating action button that's sort of like one button, really. So I think it's a similar kind of scoped effort, but really the things we're bringing into it represent Microsoft's, you know, core values.
So Sam totally bought into this. I think what you've just described is the best thing ever. Where can I use it? And how do I get it?
That's a great question. So you can go to fluent.microsoft.com, and that's kind of our website that kind of you can start on the whole journey, and you know, it's more of a marketing-y kind of site, but you can start there and you can click find the links and you'll get to dev docs and guidance and samples and things. The platform where we're most supporting Fluent right now is the UWP platform. And so if you use, you know, UWP platform, you can get access to all the stuff that we're providing with Fluent. Now, there's a couple things we announced at Build that kind of broaden the reach of that I think maybe not everyone's heard about, so I want to make sure everyone knows about.
I'm guessing XAML Islands is one
of the first. Those are XAML Islands, and so a lot of people have traditional .NET apps, WinForms and WPF apps, and even non-.NET apps. Some people, you know, at a talk I gave at Build, some people had an MFC app still. You know, so people have traditional Windows apps. And so with XAML Islands, you can now use, and that's in preview now in RS5, you can now use all the modern UI stack, all the great features that we have in the whole Fluent design system in all those apps and start incorporating them. And then the second thing we've heard is that people would like to be able to use these things, I'll say, you know, against the in-market OS, against the OS that people are running now. Sometimes we have new features and they come out in this fall, and then until users have gotten that OS update, app authors don't immediately feel they can start targeting that OS yet.
Latency problem.
And so we announced at Build, and this week we just shipped the Windows UI library. And so WinUI, it's up on GitHub. There's a link to it, but it's in NuGet, and so you can go find it. It's in preview starting this week. And that has a whole bunch of the controls, the styles, and the features that we've been building available as a NuGet package you can start linking to and using now. And it works on RS2 or higher builds. So
okay.
That's, you know, goes quite, you know, RS2 is a couple years now.
Yes.
Ago, and so, you know, really hits a broad segment now of the installed base.
Very good.
So those are two things people can do. This sample will be available this summer, and then if there's just one other thing I'd like people to know about. Is another tool that's coming out this summer also, which is our color tool. And sometimes people, when they hear about Fluent or design system, they think it's a very specific brand. It's like, oh, I have to have transparent windows this way or something like that. And Fluent is not about one specific styling or visual skin. It's a system. It's a design system that supports lots of stylings to it. And one of the things we hear that people want to do first often is just apply a color. Almost every company has a brand color. Even if it's an LOB app inside a business, there's like the brand color of that company that they want to kind of apply to things. And in the past, that's involved, you know, if you imagine all these controls, for example, you might have in your app, styling tons and tons of controls, maybe even retemplating controls to get to all the different parts and states. And so we have a much simpler model that is coming online this year with resource palettes, that are resource schemes that allow you to just changing a few color values change kind of systematically all the colors of all the controls. And we're going to be expanding that to work with density and other aspects of the design too, to make it much simpler for someone without literally changing tons and tons and tons of styles to just kind of apply a branding easily. And so here you see kind of all the XAML controls. And if I go and I switch to this pastel color set, all it's done is it's changed these six color values here, 3 for light and 3 for dark. Or if I change to forest, or if I change to nighttime or whatever, and it's the full, you know, working controls, but they've been kind of recolored.
Right, and this is intended to show the light and the dark theme, but for the same
same color scheme.
Because
a lot of apps support both light and dark theme, and so you could still support light and dark theme this way. And so anyway, there's a lot of benefits to the new color system, and this will also be available on GitHub this summer for people to go take advantage of and play around with. And we think we'll make it much easier for people to, you know, color stuff, and the tool will still warn you if you're filing contrast ratios, so it supports creating, you know, accessible things. It's very important for a lot of companies to do.
Including Microsoft.
Including Microsoft. and it doesn't override high contrast style. So it's just a much simpler model that we're excited to get out there that a lot of people are liking.
Awesome.
So, yeah.
And so these are all WinRT APIs, so you can use them from .NET, and
yep.
it's all good.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think both this app and the Van Arsdale app are C# apps.
Okay. So yeah, people who are familiar with .NET should be able to read that code
absolutely.
And be happy.
And, yeah.
And is there a minimum VS version for that? Do you know?
I don't know the answer to that. It's whatever the Windows SDK versions match to.
So VS 2017,
yeah,
probably. Okay, awesome. Well, yeah. this was super good information.
Cool. Thanks.
It seems like the design principles have moved forward a lot since at least I last looked at them, which was back in the Metro days.
Yeah.
I imagine these are going to get adopted by a lot of folks.
Yeah, we think so. And across the whole company, it's really been great, the effort within Microsoft, too, just seeing all the different teams coming together on UI principles and on UI design in a really, it's just a great cultural transformation as well.
Awesome. Okay, well, thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you.
This has been another episode of the On.NET Show, and today we talked about Fluent Design System with Paul. Thanks for watching.
Cheers.